First Epistle to Timothy, chapter 5, focus on the last two verses, verses 24 and 25.
Against an elder, receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. Them that sin, rebuke before all, that others also may fear. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins. Keep thyself pure. Drink no longer water, but use a little wine for thy stomach's sake and thine often infirmities. Some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men they follow after. Likewise also the good works of some are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise cannot be hid.
In the verse number 23, the Apostle Paul is instructing Timothy to drink no longer water, not plain water, not water alone, but also a little wine. And the reason being, Timothy is frequently sick. Taking good care of our health includes soul and body, mind and heart. And yet, how often the apostles sacrificed the comfort and health of their body for the ministry, bearing the burden of the cross, suffering persecution, could not be considered as the best care or the best caretaking for anyone's health. What is the message of the verse number 24 and the verse number 25 in the light of the preceding verses? All these instructions that the Apostle Paul is giving to Timothy are very good, are excellent, very helpful, not only for Timothy, but for every elder, every overseer, every teacher, every minister, every Christian, every father or mother, every elder brother or sister. But with all the knowledge of the scripture that one minister or one believer could have, he still needs continually to pray and to seek the Lord's guidance. Consider the verse number 19. Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses. What if there is only one witness? What if that witness is sincere and faithful brother? What if an elder is very skillful in hiding his sins? What is Timothy supposed to tell this brother who, with godly concern for himself and for Timothy and for the whole congregation, including the sinning elder, is coming to Timothy and telling, well, this is what I have seen. This elder has sinned. And when I told him that, he just rebuked me as if I sinned by even thinking that he could have done something that he really did do. In the verse number 20, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. But what if a brother, yes, he did sin, but he is in a struggle? Would rebuking him before all help him in his struggle? Would that be a helping hand? Is that exactly what the Lord Jesus would do in every case? We must study the scripture, and we must prayerfully seek the Lord's guidance. Rightly dividing the Word of God is a very important task and assignment of every believer. In the verse number 21, I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. When I am very confident that a brother being accused is innocent, that he is right and clean in the eyes of the Lord, how can I be sure that I am not wrong? How can I know 100% that I am right and righteous in everything that I do? I am human. The believers that I love, the believers that are kind and helpful, how can I help but favor them at least slightly, at least a little bit? The believers that offend me, how can I be positive, sure, that I am not going to be judgmental or at least critical or perhaps only less loving toward them? In the verse number 22, lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of other men's sins, keep thyself pure. What does that mean, suddenly? What if a brother or sister has been faithful for a year, baptized a year ago, and since that time lived a pure and holy life in the sight of God and all the fellow believers? How long a period of time of testing and proving someone would make sure that I'm not laying my hands on someone suddenly, that I'm not trusting a brother or a sister with an assignment or even an office, a duty that he or she is not prepared for? In my short and limited experience, I have met fellow believers that are so uncertain, almost sure they cannot do what is expected from them to do in the ministry. And if I manage somehow to convince them to at least try, keep praying, keep trying, they would do a wonderful job. And how many times I met the others that are very confident, and they hardly can wait for the opportunity to minister to the others. And if the opportunity was given to them, they ministered so poorly that there was more damage than help for the others and for themselves. And when I tried to explain that to them, they got offended that they couldn't believe that somebody can be dissatisfied or not absolutely impressed with their ministry. What if I, in my concern not to lay hands on anyone suddenly, am waiting too long and limiting a brother or sister and keeping them from serving the Lord and the fellow believers with all of their talents and gifts? How can I be sure that in every situation I am doing the will of the Lord? Think about Saul of Tarsus. Right after his conversion, right after his healing, both spiritually and physically, he's preaching the gospel, preaching the Lord Jesus Christ so powerfully that even the experienced and highly educated Pharisees apparently suffered total defeat in every argument, and that publicly. For an overseer, and especially a gentle, delicate character, a brother filled with godly concern, there could be tremendous difficulties. But we may not take the burden upon ourselves and carry it in our own strength and power. By prayer and supplication, trust the Lord, seek His guidance, and carry the burden with the strength and power that He is providing. And here in the verse number 23, Timothy has been instructed, and so are we, that we use every available help. And if that includes changing our diet, supplementing our physical diet with something that will improve our health, take it and use it. In the verse number 24 and the verse number 25, Paul is saying, some men's sins are open beforehand, going before to judgment, and some men, the sins, follow after. likewise also the good works of some people, some believers, are manifest beforehand, and they that are otherwise, the works that are otherwise, cannot be hid. We are not instructed here in this passage to live constantly in fear that we might have missed something. We might be sure that we did miss quite a few things, and yet the Lord will take care of everything. We pray to the Lord, we trust in the Lord, we strive to do our best, and we leave it in the hands of the Lord. That's our ministry. The apostles preached powerfully, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. And yet, in the chapter 5 of the book of Acts, we find the case of Ananias and Sapphira, dishonesty, intentional deception. The Lord Jesus Christ selected and appointed 12 apostles. One of them was the traitor, and the Lord Jesus Christ said that it must be so, for the scriptures have to be fulfilled. The apostles Paul and Barnabas labored together for so long, and then they could not agree in one thing. They had to be separated. In the verse number 20 of this chapter 5 in 1 Timothy, we see the advice, the commandment, them that sin rebuke before all, that others also may fear. In the verse 24, some men's sins are open beforehand. These must be rebuked, corrected, instructed, and if they receive the correction, they will be blessed, and the others around them will be blessed also. If the transgressors will continue in their transgression and disregard the good advice of the overseer or fellow believer, they are actually preparing themselves for the final judgment, the judgment of the Lord. If a sincere, honest brother is sinning unaware, he is not going to hide it. Is going to be visible to another one that is more experienced and better instructed in the gospel. And in that case, the judgment or discernment of the more experienced brother is going to help the transgressor and deliver him from that wrong way, that wrong path. In the first epistle of John chapter 1, verse 9, I read, if we confess our sins, He, that is the Lord, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Some nominal believers are very crafty in hiding their sins. They're good actors. Some of the hidden sinners, at times, for a long time, are able to impress the others around them as if they were innocent, honest, faithful, godly men. But there is always the Spirit of the Lord, whom they can never fool around. The Spirit of the Lord is never deceived. In the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 7 in the verse number 22 and on, the Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. So the Lord knows the hearts and the minds of those that are open and honest and sincere. And He knows the hearts and the minds of those that are hiding their sins. We as the ministers of the Word of God, we as the fellow believers, should be faithful to do the will of the Lord in everything that He has revealed to us, and to seek His guidance for everything else. But what is secret, what is not clear to us, is still in the hands of the Lord. He knows everything. The Lord Jesus Christ is teaching us in the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 6, verse 3 and on, "When thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand is doing, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly." We should not be vain and seek vain glory by puffing up our good deeds. But as much as we try to keep our good deeds secret, unknown to the others, nothing can remain secret forever. Remember when the Lord healed a man, and that man was publishing everywhere. Even today, those that receive kindness and charity from the fellow believers are not going to keep a secret. Seeking my own honor is not an honor at all. However, in a good, sound fellowship of believers, seeking the Lord's honor brings honor upon everyone involved. Neither good deeds nor bad deeds can be hidden forever. In His own time, the Lord is going to reveal the secrets of human hearts, and sometimes He will choose to do that right now and right here. At other times, He is going to do that on the day of judgment. By His own grace and power, may the Lord make us pure and holy, righteous and godly, calm and strong, peaceful and joyful, doing His will from the heart, always seeking His honor and His glory, trusting in His power.